Well, we've been kind of wrapping up. This is almost an inside joke at this point, but we have kind of been wrapping up in our series, the Book of Hebrews. Last week, who was here last week? Show of hands. I probably shouldn't have asked for a show of hands, but the reason I ask is because it was such a good service, just overall. Like, I was thinking about this last night. It was a good service in worship. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because when I'm up here and I'm not leading, a lot of times I'll just kind of have my eyes closed and worshiping, so I get caught up in the moment. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought the worship was amazing last week. I thought Pastor Susie's message, which we're going to get into, is one of my favorite messages I think I've heard so far. And then I wasn't in kids' church, but I think it was a party in kids' church because it was Pastor Jay's birthday last week, and he was serving in kids' church. So that alone, I feel like, is a really a big deal. He sent me like a little video. We're trying to get like cool shots of things happening in the church. And he sent me a video, I think it was like of the game or some kids like dancing around. Just seemed like an overall great service. And so if you guys weren't here, sorry to say, I think you did miss out. But you can always watch our sermons. You can always watch everything that we stream online. It is on our website. So I would encourage you guys actually to go back and listen to that message. See, Susie's message was called Jesus the Faithful One. Everybody say faithful. Jesus the Faithful One. And she was speaking mainly out of Hebrews 12 as we're in that series. But she had shared how God desires to be close to us when we are navigating through Scripture. He desires to be right there in the midst of us. So close to us, in fact, that he's almost in the way. That when we're reading Scripture, God actually wants to be almost in our way of what we're trying to do. That could be kind of a weird thing to think about, so I actually really liked her analogy that she used. For those who don't know, Pastor Jay and Susie, they have this little dog. His name is Hank. He's a dachshund. He runs around. I don't know much about him, honestly. He just kind of barks when I'm over there. That's about all I know. But what she did tell, yeah, see, Isaac's shaking his head or nodding his head. He agrees. But what she did say is that something about Hank is everywhere she goes in the house, Hank is close to follow, almost like a shadow. And he's so close, in fact, that sometimes he will get in the way of her walking. Now, I don't have any dogs or anything like that. I have two cats, and one is jet black, like as black as you can think, except for like one little tuft of white hair on her chest. But she's so dark that when the lights are off in the house, oftentimes you can't see her. And she does the same thing as Hank. She'll follow me around, and she's kind of like a literal shadow. And the problem with that is, since I can't see her half the time, I will trip over her. She'll get in my way. But that's how close God desires to be with us when we are navigating through Scripture, so much so that he wants to almost get in our way. What does that actually mean? Or what does that actually look like? I think it's an important reminder because how many of you guys have been reading the Word and maybe something just doesn't completely make sense to you? Is that only me? No, good. I'm glad it's not only me. Oftentimes when we read the Word, maybe we read it and something just doesn't quite make sense to us. Or even deeper, if we're getting real, sometimes we can read the Word and we can see things that we don't agree with. Something may just not sit right in our heart. I don't know where you guys are at when you're in the Word, but I know it to be true. 100% of God's Word is truth. And so when I read something that doesn't sit right in my heart or that my preferences or my opinions go against, that can be a difficult thing. And the temptation when you come up to moments in Scripture that you may initially disagree with or that you don't understand, the temptation is one of two things: to either stop reading and just come back to it another day, or just move on to the next chapter, or just pass by that verse and continue on. I don't know how you guys think, but maybe you think like me, where you're like, maybe I just don't fully understand this. Someday I'm going to get it. Someday I'll be smart enough, I'll be more familiar with the Bible. Or maybe like my heart's not really in the right place. Someday God will work on my heart enough to be able to receive this correctly. But just like Hank or my cat, her name is Shirley, just like those two, God desires to be that close to us when we are in his Word, which means when we come to those moments of having a hard time with whatever's in front of us, whether we just don't understand it or whether it goes against the grain of who we are, our opinions, our preferences, God wants to actually be in our way so we deal with it in that moment. See, it can be kind of messy and it can be a little bit awkward sometimes. And I think the temptation is to think, Well, when I'm reading the Bible, it's supposed to be filling me up with joy and faith, and everything's going well. So when that doesn't happen, and I'm confused by something, or I don't agree with something, then maybe I'm doing something wrong. But when you think about it, to me, it really does make sense. When God says that he desires to be so close to us when we navigate through Scripture that he's almost in our way, it's similar to hanging out with a friend. I just had a friend that came over yesterday, and I've been friends with him, I don't know, since sixth grade or so. He's not a believer, and, you know, a lot of our opinions are different. And so naturally, when we get together and we hang out, we'll catch up with each other. He's in a relationship with somebody. His position at his job, I feel like, is constantly changing. And so there's all these things in life that we usually update each other about. But in the midst of that, we're kind of discovering that we may not agree on everything. And there's times where there's awkward silences. There's times where I ask, well, why are you doing that? Why are you making that decision? Why are you living life this way? And his answers are things where I realize his values are different than mine. His opinions are different than mine. And it can be this weird kind of awkward moment where we don't fully understand each other. But those are not the times where I'm just like, okay, clearly we're not getting along. I'm going to leave, right? That's just natural. When you're hanging out with people, you are learning each other's hearts through fellowship. I start to understand him a little bit more when I ask those questions that I might not understand, when I disagree with the way that he's doing things, and I start to ask, well, why are you doing that this way? Or what was your thought process here? And he starts to share those things with me. What's happening is I'm learning his heart through fellowshipping with him, and he's learning mine. And God actually invites us to do the same when we enter into Scripture with him. You may read something you don't understand. It may confuse you. It may be something that you even disagree with, but in the temptation is to just move on and hope you get it later. But the invitation is that you would spend time with God and bring it to him. God, why am I not understanding this? Why does your word say this? Even though I disagree with this, I'm choosing to believe that it's true. So I pray that you would reveal in my heart what needs to shift so I can come into alignment with that. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference? That's the invitation that we have when it comes to spending time with God in Scripture. He wants to be so close to us that he's almost in our way. So the next time you guys are in your Bible or in his word and you come across something that's maybe not just being received right or you don't understand it, I would encourage you to wrestle with that. Bring it to God. Say, God, what am I not seeing here? Show me, because he wants to reveal it to you, and there's an invitation there. Pastor Susie talked through Hebrews 12 again, and it talked about how in our weariness, we can actually put Hebrews 12:3 up on the screen, but it talks about how in our weariness and in our suffering, that's when we need to be reminded that he wants to be near us, because even Jesus suffered. I know that's really obvious when you say it out loud, but sometimes when you're going through life and it feels like God's not there for you, it can be really, really easy to just forget the fact that he also suffered, that he understands what you're going through, that he understands that life is not just this easy walk through life that is just a breeze and you're never going to come through any hardship. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. When we grow weary, it's usually because life has kind of battered us down with whatever kind of reason, right? It can be stress in your work life. It can be things like you needing physical healing and you're not getting it. Or maybe there's things that you actually need God to come through with, like provision, for example, and you've prayed for that to happen. You prayed for his faithfulness to show up in your life because you've read that he's a good God and you're not yet experiencing it. So when that happens, it can become very easy to grow weary. Everybody say weary. When we grow weary, that is the perfect opportune time to draw closer to God. There's two reasons for this, because when you are weary and you draw closer to God, you kind of have this moment, and we're going to talk more about this at the end of the message, but you kind of have this moment where there's less obstacles in your heart and in your mind to get in the way of what God wants to speak to you. Pastor Jave jokes about this sometimes, and I'm actually the exact same way, but man, I don't know if it's just a man thing, but when I get sick, I'm the most pathetic person that I've ever met. I don't know how else to explain it. I was trying to think of a better way to say it, but it's true. And it's just like when you're at that rock bottom moment, when you're at this moment where you feel weary, all of a sudden, pride goes out the window. right? I don't need to be like, oh, I'm just going to go get a cup of water myself. I can handle it myself. Oh, I don't need to, you know, try to get my shift covered or anything. All of that, I just want as much help as I can possibly get. Pride goes out the window and I become humble real quick because I don't feel good and I grow weary. And when that happens, when pride is removed from your heart and your mind, God can speak to you more clearly in those moments. So that's number one reason why I think it's important to draw near to him in our weariness. But number two, when you are weary, that's when the enemy likes to come and mess with you the most. When you are weary, it's usually just as I touched on before, it's because there's circumstances in your life that you need help with, that you're kind of battered down by. And so what can happen is maybe you're in a time where you need physical healing. Maybe there's something that you are desperately waiting for God's promise on in your life, and it just hasn't come through yet. And as you grow weak and weary, the enemy will be trying to come in and convince you, hey, isn't God supposed to be a healer? And you've prayed for healing, and you haven't received healing yet. And he tries to convince you that God is not going to come through for you. Maybe he turned his back on you. See, it can alter our perception of God, and it also can just be a lie about the way that God sees us as well. The enemy might not be able to convince you that God's not a healer. Maybe you're really strong on your faith, and you know no matter what you experience, you know that he's a healer. Well, the enemy can come in and say, well, then maybe you just don't have enough faith. Maybe there's just something you're missing in your heart. Maybe there's something wrong with you. So these are the times where the enemy will try to convince us that God is far away. And the problem with that is then we can become isolated. And all of a sudden, every imperfection that you may have going on in your life, the sins that you have going on in your life, maybe there's a sin that just keeps reoccurring over and over and over. And now the enemy is going to say, well, clearly God already isn't coming through for you, and maybe you did something wrong. You better keep away from him, because now if you come to him, not only is he already angry at you, but if he finds out about this sin, there's even more guilt, there's even more shame. And the enemy wants to bring us into isolation away from God, and he wants to keep us in the darkness. Because how many of you guys know that when any kind of sin is brought into the light, out from darkness, it can't survive, right? So the enemy wants nothing more but to keep us in that darkness and in that shame. So when we are in our times of growing weary, those are the times to draw near to God, even when we don't feel it or we're convinced that it's the wrong thing to do. We talked about how we view God through our experiences rather than looking for him in the midst of our experiences. Susie repeated this, and I feel like I need to too because it's really good. But we view our God through our experiences rather than looking for him in the midst of our experiences. What does that mean? Just as we were talking about, if you were going through a moment where you need healing, you pray for it, and it hasn't manifested, it can alter your view of who God is. Rather than taking the opportunity and saying, God, I know that you're a healer. I believe you're a healer. I haven't felt your healing yet. So where are you in the midst of this? Because when you ask those questions, he begins to reveal where he is and what he's doing. Make sense? Again, it's an invitation where he wants to get in the way so he can show you something. But it's very, very easy to have our view of God be altered based off of our experiences. We talked about in Genesis 42, we're not going to go there. Susie gave a really, really, really fast recap of this. Mine's even going to be quicker. But in Genesis 42, it actually looks at the story of Joseph. Joseph, he had some brothers that were really, really jealous of him. They sold him into slavery and then told the father. They told their own dad, like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. He got killed, actually. And actually, here's a coat with his blood stain to prove it. Like, don't worry about it. When in reality, they sold him into slavery. I've been serving as a youth pastor here for a while now, so I know youth, a couple in this room, two brothers specifically. And I know that when they grew up, they talked about how they didn't get along that much. They would never sell each other into slavery, though, and then lie to their dad about it. That's like a whole next level of jealousy and hate. So Joseph's brothers were not exactly very fond of him. But as they went through this process where they were trying to get rid of him, trying to do things their own way, they actually knew who God was. They knew of God, but they didn't know him in the way where they knew his heart. And so as things would start to happen, they would begin to perceive it as God's judgment towards them rather than what God was actually doing. And because of that, they were afraid, thinking that it was his judgment. And it says in scripture, I found this really interesting, it says in the word that their hearts failed them. And so oftentimes when we are having our altered view of God, it's because of the condition of our heart. I was just talking to somebody on the phone this last week. I screenshotted it and sent it to Pastor Jay because it was kind of funny. I was late coming into the office, and part of the reason because I was on the phone with this person, and it was like a two-hour phone call. If you guys have ever got me on the phone, it's difficult to keep me on the phone for longer than 5 minutes. So it's hilarious to me that this phone call lasted 2 hours. But part of the reason it lasted so long is we were talking about the things of God. And one of the things that came up was how our hearts can actually deceive us. We live in a society and in a world that always talks about how we should follow our heart. But the problem with that is if your heart is actually tainted by things like pride, it can take you off course. And you can find yourself in a position saying, God, where have you been? Why are you letting me drown in this area of life? I thought I was supposed to follow my dreams, my passions. Don't you care about that? I did. And now here I am stuck and I am lost. When in reality, our hearts led us there instead of God. Does that make sense? You guys are with me? This gets really confusing for people, so much so that there's a really popular phrase in our world today, and it's been there for as long as I can remember, probably way before I was born. But the phrase that I always hear that's really popular is God works in mysterious ways. Raise your hand if you've ever heard somebody say God works in mysterious ways. It is an extremely common saying, and it's not always wrong. I think that's the interesting part. The reason that it still stays relevant is it's not always wrong. But the reason that it's not always wrong is because something is only mysterious if you're not familiar with it. Does that make sense? Something's only mysterious if you're not familiar with it. I've been doing disc dying lately for disc golf. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to explain what it is. It's just really nerdy, okay? It's a really nerdy hobby. That's all you need to know. But I bring this up to say, I would see people post these pictures of these discs that they would die, and they would be phenomenal. They would blow me away. They're like pieces of art. And I had no idea how they would ever get that done. I had no idea what methods they used or anything. So I started researching it. I started finding out that you can use things like dye powder and acetone and alcohol, like denatured alcohol, like a stovetop fuel, and lotion, and all of these different things, clear glue, white glue, all of these different things, Q-tips and manipulators, and I'm like, this is crazy. I start working with it. I start getting better at it and better and better and better, and all of a sudden, what happens? A couple weeks go by, a month goes by, 2 months go by, and now I'm telling you, those same discs that I would see earlier, and I would be confused, like, how in the world did they get this to look like that? I can see 95% of discs and figure out, okay, I think I know exactly what they did. The reason was something that was once mysterious to me, all of a sudden when I became familiar with it, it was no longer mysterious. I knew the methods they were using. I knew what they most likely did to get the result that they were seeing. And when it comes to God, I believe that God doesn't work in mysterious ways. God works in God's ways. And the invitation is to become familiar with them. Amen? Good. Okay. So if you are in a position in your life right now where you feel like his ways are mysterious to you, that's okay, and that's okay to admit. That's actually a good thing because you have an opportunity sitting in front of you to come to God and ask him to reveal what he's doing in your life. That's a beautiful opportunity. That's a beautiful invitation. Don't ever feel like you're in a bad place if you don't know what God's doing. Just know that the invitation is to draw near to him. See, God's mysterious ways are oftentimes actually, it's just his grace towards us. Everybody say grace. The title of my message today is He Gives Grace, which is true. He gives grace to the humble, which we're going to get to. But this is important because when things start going poorly in our lives, or even if they just start going differently than how we think they should be going, we can think that it might be God's judgment towards us, right? Or we can think that maybe God's not listening. Maybe there's something we haven't done. Oh, I haven't read my Bible in weeks now. I haven't been to church in a while. I haven't prayed in a long time. And so the reason I'm not really experiencing God's grace, that must just be because I'm not fellowshipping with him. He doesn't care about me. That's not true. But when that starts to happen, there's a danger that we can fall into. When we mistake God's grace in our life as something bad, or God not coming through for us, it can cause major damage to our intimacy with him. It's easy to talk about how God gives grace, and I think it's easy to agree with the fact that God has given grace in our lives. But the tricky thing about grace, at least for me personally, is that, God's grace can oftentimes God's grace can oftentimes go unnoticed in our life. And I believe that the enemy will use that to draw us further away from him. So I'll say that again since I couldn't get through it. But God's grace in our lives can go unnoticed. And if God's grace in your life is going unnoticed by you, the enemy will try to use that to draw you away from him. So you can be in the midst of something, you can be in a situation, and in your perception, it might be like, God's not coming through for me. I've prayed for these things, and they're clearly not happening. And so I'm not experiencing God's grace. When in reality, the thing that you might be praying for might not be coming through because God's grace is all over your life, and you're not meant to experience that thing at that time. Does that make sense? Have you guys ever had a situation like that? I don't feel 100% comfortable sharing this story, and it's a little bit later in my message, but I do feel like it's honestly the perfect segue. But the truth is, last week when I was talking about how good the service was, it was. But Susie's message was probably one of my favorite messages. She shared I don't want to get into details because it's not my story to share, but you can go back and listen to it, and she shared a vulnerable moment in her life. So the vulnerable moment for her, it was something where towards the end of her dad's life, someone could look at the situation from an outside perspective and say, God's clearly not in this situation. Where is God as, you fill in the blank, where is God as a healer, right? But Pastor Susie had an opportunity to look at the situation and recognize, and even further than that, not only recognize it, but declare out where God's grace was in that moment. See, again, I don't feel comfortable going into details, so I'd encourage you guys to go back and listen to it. But the details of the story, it really does matter. Because again, from an outside perspective, God's grace can go unnoticed. And then the danger in that is it can damage your intimacy towards him. But instead, Susie recognized all the different pieces that came into play. So when this season of life was happening with her dad, there was actually a support system that had been set up. And through that, God's grace was recognized in the midst of that. Does that make sense? Is that okay that I shared that? I'm sorry. Okay. I was like, it was said loud at the pulpit, so I wanted to include in my message. It really was powerful. And that kind of blends into what we read in Scripture, but sharing God's grace from our life is something that's an important part of our testimony. We read in his word that we would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus has already done his part. He's already shed his blood. And now we have an opportunity to share our testimony. So there's a really important opportunity that we can miss if his grace goes unnoticed in your life. You can go around telling people, yeah, I'm really frustrated. I believe that God exists, but I've been praying for healing. I've been praying for this job opportunity. I've been praying for this answer, and it's not coming. When in reality, God's inviting you, no, come to me because I have something to show you. You may think this is how I'm supposed to react. This is the way I'm supposed to respond to prayer, but I'm going to show you what I'm actually doing. Because oftentimes what's not noticed is his grace is all over that situation. And if you're not experiencing his promises coming through, there's probably active grace happening in the moment that you can declare and thank him. Sorry. Now, I jumped way ahead in my message, but I am going to go back, and it is still talking about grace. As I mentioned earlier, this has kind of been, like, probably, I don't know if it's the hardest, but it's been one of the hardest years for me, just physically, emotionally, mentally. And so obviously I've needed God through it, but I've experienced things that I've never had to deal with before. And I kind of find it funny sometimes because, like I mentioned earlier, my friend that I've known since sixth grade that was just over yesterday and I was talking to, obviously we're about the same age. And so we're hitting this season in our life, our early 30s. I'm about to be 34, which is disgusting. I'm going to like, makes me throw up in my mouth when I think about that I'm getting older. Early 30s. So here's my point in this, okay? For some of you that may be older than that, you might agree with this, but I feel like this is the first time in my life that I'm all of a sudden dealing with any kind of health issue beyond like a cold. Like seriously, it's just like my body is all of a sudden just slowly starting to show, hey, you got a little bit of back pain here. And by the way, that's going to be permanent. Don't worry about it. Stuff like that. And so I'll joke with my friend who's also this age, like, man, it's crazy that we're experiencing these things that we've never had to deal with before, and it's really strange. And we have all these weird things come up. For me, it's a lot more than back pain. There's been a lot that's been going on this year. Like I said, I have hearing aids. I'm still in the midst of figuring things out, so I won't go into details about all of it, but I got issues with my hearing. I got all sorts of things going on, and this year has really just been difficult. Taylor always jokes about the fact that I'm getting older, and she says it in a loving way. She thinks it's, I don't know, lack of a better term, like attractive that she's married to an older guy. So she always brings that up around my birthday, like she's getting older. Anyways, because I'm getting older, she always jokes about it when she notices different things happening. And I like to deny it, but I can't deny it when certain things happen that are like very evident that I'm just becoming an old man. For instance, when, I don't know if you guys know this, but every single year that a guy gets older, his sneeze gets louder by like one decibel, okay? At least. It's true. And so I'm starting to develop this old man sneeze. Every single time I sneeze, like both of my cats, both, used to just be one, and now it's both, will just scatter like cockroaches every time I sneeze, right? And I used to deny it, and I told Taylor, I'm like, they're just skittish. My sneeze is not that loud. And then yesterday, I couldn't deny it because I wear a hat every single day because I'm losing my hair because I'm getting old, just another thing. But anyways, I was wearing a hat, and I sneezed in the living room, and I sneezed so hard that my hat flew off. And I was like, I can no longer deny that I don't have a very heavy and loud sneeze. So there's things that I've been experiencing that I've never had to deal with before in my life, and it's beyond just getting older, right? There's been a whole slew of things that have come in the midst. Again, I'm still in the midst of it, so I can't share all the details, but I believe that God's showing me his hand through all of it. It's been a really challenging year, and there was times where I could have easily just seen, I don't see God's grace anywhere in this situation. But I am so thankful, not only for his grace, but I'm so thankful that in those moments when I was weary at my weakness, that I chose to draw near to him in the midst of my suffering. Because when I did that, he answered with grace. Here's the interesting thing, though. When I was in the midst of that, when I was at my absolute lowest, like in January, when I was at the absolute lowest, and I was crying out to him and drawing near to him, he answered with grace, but it went unrecognized by me. I can look back now and recognize his grace all over that situation. But here's the important thing, is that when you guys are in the midst of a suffering, or maybe you're at your lowest point, or you're desperate for God, it can be very easy to miss the fact that he is extending grace to you. That doesn't change your strategy. That doesn't change who he is either. And so when you are in the midst of it, even if you aren't experiencing his grace or you don't think you are, it is so important to take that opportunity and draw near to him anyway, because he is extending grace whether you realize it or not. For me, I look back and I just realize at my lowest in January, there were so many things that he had set up, similar to Pastor Susie's story in a way, where there were so many opportunities and things that he had set up with a support system around me, and it happened at a time where I was set up to deal with it. And I honestly, that was enough grace for me. I honestly don't think without it I'd be here. Exactly. Thank you. I agree. So God's grace is extremely important for us to be able to not only recognize, but understand why it even happens in the first place. It's a gift. It's a gift that we don't deserve. But there is something that it says in his word about his grace that I think we need to highlight for, I think, one of our last scriptures today. We got a couple more here, but James 4, 6 through 8, it says this. But he gives more grace. Everybody say, he gives grace. He gives grace. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you recognize when you read that sentence, everything that we talked about today, when you're in the midst of your suffering or you're in a midst of a season where you perceive that God's promises aren't coming through, when you're in that moment, there is a decision to be made. You can either keep thinking, this is how God should be coming through for me. I've been asking for it. Why isn't it happening? But that's pride, because you're thinking this is how God needs to operate. Or we can submit ourselves to God and be humble and say, Lord, I know you're in the midst of this. I believe that you are faithful. I declare that you are faithful. So I pray that you would reveal what you are doing here. Just as Susie had said, our experiences can dictate how we view God, but oftentimes the better invitation and opportunity for us is to look for him in the midst of our experiences. And when we do that and we submit to him, all of a sudden we realize God opposes the proud, as it says in his word, but he gives grace to the humble. Being humble is submitting yourselves to God. Being humble is to say, God, I know that I'm not seeing these answers to prayer the way that I think I should, but your ways are better than my ways. Your ways are not mysterious. Your ways are your ways, and the invitation is to understand them. And so would you show me what I need to understand about your ways? Your ways are better than mine. That is being humble. That's submitting yourself to God. And when that happens, according to his word, the promise is that he would give you grace. I don't know about you guys, but I can always, always use more grace in my life. I can't tell you how many times in my life that the people in my life that I look up to as spiritual elders or even just people that I consider to be much more on fire for Jesus. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've seen those people, and I'm amazed that what I view as a struggle, they see God is all over this situation. I'm talking on really like small testimonies, but again, this is why it's important to share your testimony, no matter how small you think it is, because it builds others' faith. I'll hear these people talk about things where I'm like, man, clearly my heart is in the wrong spot. Because they'll talk about things how, oh, I was driving to, you know, I was taking a trip the other day with the family and our car broke down on the side of the road. So I just started praying and praying and praying. And about 45 minutes later, we were back on the road. Somebody came with a tow truck, got us back up, got us up and running. We were good. God is so good. He answered our prayer. And I'm thinking, if I'm in that situation and the car breaks down, I'm like, where is God? Why is my car broken down? This shouldn't have happened. That's a heart issue, right? There's pride there because I think this is how God's supposed to be operating. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I would encourage you guys, it's easy to nod our heads and agree, and I'm saying that as somebody who does this. It's easy to nod your heads and agree when you're at church and you're listening to it, you're in his word, you're realizing who he is. But when you're in the situation and the storms come in life, it can be really, really difficult not to just pause and say, God, I know that you are good, so show me where you are in the midst of this. Amen? That's an opportunity for you guys because he wants to give grace to the humble. Good. 2 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10 says this. So to keep me from becoming conceited, this is Paul speaking, and for those who are like me and have to text their friend that's an English teacher every time they see a word that they're not completely sure of, just a reminder, conceited does mean excessively proud. So, Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from having pride well up in my heart, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times, everybody say three times. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times Paul pleaded with the Lord that this thorn in his side, this messenger from Satan that's harassing him, should leave him. Three times he brought that to the Lord. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have a situation here where Paul is somebody at this point that does know the Lord, so much so that when he has a moment or he has something occur in his life that he describes as a thorn in his side and an absolute harassment to what he is trying to accomplish, that he believes is just set up from God and he's trying to accomplish it, this thing's in the way, he brings it to the Lord. And he doesn't just bring it once, hoping that it'll come through. He is fervent in my belief. He is consistent with it. It says that he pleaded with the Lord three times to remove this thorn from his side. But what was the Lord's response? The Lord's response we see in verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It's so important for us to be in the Word. Because as I shared earlier, you can be in situations and it can be very easy to say, God's grace isn't in this. Where is he? He's not answering my prayer. But the invitation is to know his heart and know his ways. And when we get into his word, it shows us his heart and it shows us his ways. And we see things where that his grace is sufficient for us. And when we are at our times when we are weary, again, or we are at our lowest, or we are at our weakness, those are the times that he wants to show us that he is strong in us. When we are stripped away of everything that we have, that we can just kind of boast up and say, look at what I'm doing in my life, when we're stripped away of those things and we're at our lowest point, that's when he gets to show that he is strong in our life. Because people can look at your situation and they can see, wow, you didn't have anything to do with this, and yet God came through for you. He wants to show up in those moments. Amen? There's an opportunity for us to step into his grace, and the way that we get it is by submitting ourselves and being humble before the Lord. Everybody say humble. The opportunity for us to experience his grace is being humble before the Lord, which simply means that we recognize that his ways are better than our ways, and we would submit to them. You know, when I was preparing this message this week, I started off, everybody, I feel like, asked me sometimes. Everybody sometimes. I feel like oftentimes I get asked, how do you go about preparing a message? What is the first thing you start with? I do the same thing every single time. It's worked for me. I even had to edit a YouTube video. I'm a video editor for a living. I edited a YouTube video that somebody made on how to write a sermon. And I was like, this is really good method. I might try this. Got to this one, I'm like, no, I'm sticking with my tried and true. Because the same way that I write messages, it's the same way every single time. But I start off writing my messages the exact same way, which is before I do anything, I always ask the Lord, what is it that you want to speak to us? Not just to me, not just to you guys. What does the Lord want to speak to us? And that's the first question I always ask. And sometimes I'll get an immediate answer. Sometimes I won't get much. And then it just kind of kicks me off into writing an entire message. But when I asked this one, I think I want us to kind of go over the answer when we get to communion, which we're going to go over in just a little bit. But when I asked that, I specifically felt when he gave his answer, many of us currently in this room or in this congregation are going through struggles in our life, are going through times where we are waiting for the promises of God to come through in our life. And it may be something that you've even asked for. It may be something that you've been even desperate enough to cry out to him multiple times. I feel like a lot of us are in situations like that. Some of us might be angry with God. Some of us are just straight up desperate for him. We're not even angry. We just want him to come through. But I would encourage you to recognize that there's a danger in thinking that God should come through for you in one specific way. It's pride that can well up in our heart. And according to God's word, God opposes the proud but wants to give grace to the humble. And so with whatever struggle you're going through or maybe that you walked in with, we do want to take time to actually pray for those things. I would never say, you know, don't allow pride to stop you from bringing a prayer request to somebody. We want to hear your prayer request, and we want to walk you through that and actually pray for you. And we're going to do that today after communion. But I would encourage you that instead of asking, God, this is a specific need that I have right now, I would encourage you guys to actually just be with him and allow him to show you what he's currently doing in your life, what he is currently on track with, what he's currently trying to speak to you. It may be the answer to your prayer, and it may just be in a different way that you're not used to hearing. But I would encourage you guys to do that today as we go into communion. So I'm going to lead us in it, and I think I'm going to have us just actually all stand now, and then, Jay, do you want to come up and play? Micah? Cool. But the reason that I'm kind of ending and we're going into worship is because much like Susie had shared about how God wants to be so close to us when we're going through scripture, he wants to be that close to us in our mess, just like this, when things fall randomly on stage. He wants to be in the midst of all of the messiness. He wants to be in the midst of the awkward silences. He wants to be in the midst of us struggling to understand something in scripture, and he wants to be in the midst of us thinking that maybe he's not coming through for us in a specific way. But the common denominator in all of that is he wants to be in the midst of us. And so we have a perfect opportunity to do that today. We will be praying for you at the end of service. But right now what we're going to do is we're actually going to go into a time of communion and worship. And this is a time to ask him to be with you. I mentioned this earlier. I didn't actually give you guys the answer. But when I was praying, Lord, what is it that you want to speak to us in preparation of this message? The only thing that he said right off the bat was that he wants to be with us. I just want to be with you. That can seem like a really shallow answer. That can seem like a Sunday morning school answer, but it's not. I think what he's trying to say is that this is the time to be with me in a way that maybe you're not used to doing. This is a time to cry out to me. Maybe you guys are silent prayers where you pray in your head. He knows what I'm praying. He knows what I'm thinking. He's going to answer for me. He's inviting you to interact with him in a new way, that you would verbally say your prayer requests out loud. Maybe you guys are used to praying a lot and you have prayer requests all the time and you do thank him for who he is, but he's asking you just to listen. Instead of talking, he's asking you to listen because there's something he wants to bestow upon your heart. Whatever it may be, I believe that God actually wants to reveal what it means to be with him in a new way to you. And we have the perfect opportunity to do that together in whatever kind of mess it looks like. And so the way that I propose that we do this is as we enter into our time of closing worship and closing communion is I'm going to pray for us. And after I'm done praying, I'll lead us into the time when it's time to come up. But I'll have us all come up, receive the elements, and actually take it back to your seat. Take it back to your seat and find two or three people around you to actually gather together and just take communion together. If you don't know what that means, I would simply just encourage you to thank him for his body that was shed for you and thank him for his blood that covers your sins. Thank him for those things and take them in memory of him. And just listen, because for every single one of us, it's going to be a little bit different. But I do believe that the invitation, what God told me specifically, was that he wants to be with us. So whatever that looks like, I'm leaving it up to him. Father God, I just pray that you would lead us through this moment. Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for being faithful. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, that when we don't understand something, when we're in the midst of something, when we feel like we can't even hear your voice, we can run to your word, open it up, and immediately see you speaking. God, even when we feel we've never heard your voice before, I thank you that all it takes is reading the word, and all of a sudden you're speaking to us. So God, I pray that we would take that invitation, we would take full advantage of the opportunity set before us to know your heart, to know your ways, to be in a position where we can be completely freed up of having pride in our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you desire for us to cry out to you in desperation. I thank you that you do want to know what our requests are. Lord, I thank you that when we are in a time of need, in a time of need of provision, in a time of need of healing, that we are supposed to cry out to you, that we do want you to move. But Lord, I thank you even more that you work in your own way, because instead of us saying, this is exactly how it should be happening, and then I get to testify and glorify his name because he did it exactly how I asked, we get to say, it happened in a way that I could have never imagined. Because when it happens that way, Lord, you get all the glory. You get all the credit. God, I thank you for your goodness in our life. I thank you that you do give grace to the humble, that when we submit ourselves to you, that you answer and respond by extending grace our way. So Lord, would you extend grace our way as we submit ourselves to you? God, it says in your word that we are to approach the throne of grace boldly. And so, Lord, even though we may be afraid of having pride well up in our hearts, there may be people that feel that they are inadequate. There may be people feel that they're not good enough for God because of what they've done. I thank you that it says in your word, not only do you sit on a throne of grace, but that we are to boldly approach that throne. We are to boldly approach that throne to be with you. And so, God, as you have said and you have asked, Lord, I thank you that we have this opportunity now to do exactly that, to be with you, to lift up these elements in remembrance of you, thank you for them, and declare who you are in our life. God, I pray that you would just give us the boldness to pray in a new way. Give us the boldness to even listen in a new way. But God, I pray that you would just be with us and lead this moment as we receive these elements and take communion and fellowship with you. Lord, I thank you that you desire to be so close to us that you are in the way almost, and that we can actually have that exact opportunity now as we enter into a time of communion. And so God, would you show up in a big way right now? Would you show up and speak to our hearts? Lord, would you show up and speak to our minds? God, would you answer the prayers that are being cried out to you? Lord, would you just show yourself in a new way to us, because we are desperate for you in this place today. God, I thank you that your ways may be something that we may not have been able to predict, but Lord, that they're not mysterious, that we have an opportunity to become familiar with them. And so God, would you just allow us to become familiar with you today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm gonna have you guys come forward and receive the elements, and then take them back to your seat, and just find two or three people to pray with and receive communion together. Come on up.
Declaring your glory, there is none. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. And we can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. And we can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face. We see your face. Thanks.
Yes, Lord, I just thank you that you are faithful. God, even when we reach out and we feel that we can't hear your voice, just as we were just singing out and declaring and choosing to believe, God, that when we reach out to you, we're met by love. God, we're met by grace. Pastor Jay said this a few weeks ago, and it just reigns to be true, that if God never did another thing for us, what he has already done is more than enough. His grace is more than enough. God, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your faithfulness. But God, I pray and I just thank you that you are not done. Lord, that you will reign forevermore. God, the same God that we read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, these miracles and these big things that happen, that same God is the same God that we serve today and forevermore. Hebrews 13:8 says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we thank you that you were once faithful, that you still are faithful, and you are faithful forevermore. God, would you continue to show us the things that you are doing in our lives? Would you continue to allow just those opportunities for the Holy Spirit to come in and convict us of those things that should be removed from our heart? Lord, not just because it's some Christian to-do list, goody-two-shoes kind of thing, Lord, but because it actually gets in the way of our intimacy with you when something that shouldn't be there is there. It gets in the way between us. And just as we learned many times, Lord, you desire to be so close to us that there should be nothing in the way. So God, would you just show us those things? Would you just allow just the opportunity for your Holy Spirit to come in and convict us of those things to be removed from our hearts? Remove that pride from our hearts. God, we want to be a people that are humble, that experience your grace on a whole new level. God, and we just submit ourselves to you. I thank you for what you've already done and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Well, you guys are dismissed. I think the only thing, I don't recall if it was said, but we normally have our worship and prayer nights on Wednesday nights. This week is actually going to be Laundry Love. I would encourage you, if you are interested, connect with Steve. Can you raise your hand? Steve's right there. To connect with him after service. But otherwise, before you leave today, if there is anything that you need prayer for, please do not hesitate and come up. We would love to pray for you. And otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Have a great week. Thanks for coming.